Okay.
So just to recap, the main issue we've been discussing is Chazal in different points in time outline that there are different categories of individuals, a tzaddik, a rasha, and a benoni, and we had even two different kinds of tzaddikim and rishayim, those who are tzaddik v'tovo, tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovo, rasha v'ralo, and then the benoni, and we were struggling to define these terms because clearly a benoni, which is our focus at the moment, cannot be someone who sometimes does averos and sometimes does mitzvos, because the Balatani collects different mamorei chazal that seem to indicate that if a person even performs one avera, he's immediately labeled as a rasha. So then who is this benoni, the elusive category, which seems to address most people as the Rishonim tell us a person should always view himself, as a benoni. So what then is the definition of a benoni? So in order to define the benoni, the Balei Tanya first defines the tzaddik, and that is the person who has, he first defines the tzaddik and the rasha, and the tzaddik is a person who is not governed by the Yetzer Hara at all. He never succumbs to an avera, and the tzaddik v'tovlo doesn't even have a Yetzer Hara to speak of. It's entirely been obliterated and consumed and subsumed within his Yetzer HaTov. Everything is working towards one agenda. And the tzaddik v'ralo is the one who has the Yetzer Hara, but he never, ever succumbs to the Yetzer Hara. And he even goes so far as to say that there are, to imply that there are people who created this way, and that's not really relevant to most of us. But what is the purpose? And we find different tzaddikim described differently by Chazal. Sometimes we have a tzaddik who's a lamed vav tzaddikim, a lamed vavnik, or a tzaddik yisoid olam, who's even more of a reserved category, right? And more exclusive. He's the tzaddik upon which the entire world rests. So these kinds of individuals seem to have, no yetzer hara at all. Well, what then is the purpose of creation? If there's no battle raging inside of this individual, why then is he here? And that already implies that there are tzaddikim who are only here to give over to others, and not really even because of their own struggles, their own battles, because they have that which they need to personally accomplish, but only because of that which they contribute to others. See, the Shesfarim imply that there are, of course, the concept of Gilgulim, which is already found in the writings of Ria Kodesh, that in the Zohar, that a person comes back to this world again and again in order to perfect something which he didn't manage to get to the first time. That's what the Vilna Gaon claims, the Homach Leikus in the Gemara, whether it was Tov Lo Shadim Shenivra, or it was better that he never been created, we mentioned a few times, between Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel, we concluded better they never would have been created, is only discussing subsequent reincarnations. Would have been better that a person accomplished his primary mission the first time, so he shouldn't have to come back again in a Gilgul? Or is it better that a person comes back in a Gilgul, because then he gets to do more and more mitzvahs every time? And that's what the Gemara concluded. No, it's better just finish your mission the first time. Don't have to come back again and again in subsequent reincarnations. But the Vilna Gaon even reads that into the entire story of Yonah. Yonah didn't want to fulfill the ratzon of the Ribono Shel Olam, not in his original entrance into this world. He didn't want to have to come back again in a Gilgul Sheni to fulfill that tafka that he was, he didn't fulfill the first time. However, there are some who claim that, no, there are certain individuals who are created who are not here to fix something that they didn't get to the first time. They're just here to contribute to others, and they don't forget their previous reincarnations. That's what they say to Pshat and Agada. This is a little verto of Pshat and Agada. Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare ani kivin shivim shana. What is Achish Shatami Tzis Mitzrayim Baleilos? I'm Ki'ihu 70 years. Why does it say Ki'ihu 70 years? We all know, because that was the day he took over the yeshiva. How old was he really? 18. But he was so dark-haired. Who's going to respect him? So Kadosh Baruch Hu made an ace and made him as if he had white hair. Hared ani kiven shivim shana. However, some explain, what it means is he was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi lived to be how old? Anybody know?
52.
Mentioned it a few weeks ago. So he lived to be 52. How old was Elazar ben Azariah this time? 18. He was a Gilgal of Shmuel, but he was such a tzaddik, he was only here to contribute to others, so he remembered that which he did in the Gilgal Rishon, because he wasn't here to fix something that he needed to forget what he did. Everything was perfect. So he was, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. It's as if I am 70. How are you 70? Because I have the 52 years of Shmuel and my own 18. Okay, fine. They're such great tzaddikim, and that's why in the Hasidish way of thinking, much of our Limud HaBaal HaTanya, even if we don't, are not convinced of everything that he tells us in terms of their perspective of Baal HaTanya, but I think if anything sharpens our own view, One of the principles of Chassidish way of thinking is to latch on to the tzaddik. Why to the tzaddik? Is he, you know, kind of the tzinor, the conduit who brings kedusha down to this world? Because the tzaddik lives on a different plane. He doesn't even have a yetzirah. There are some people who are like, they're not here. They're only here to contribute to others. They don't even have their own personal mission or struggles. So that's why it's, of course, advisable always to latch on to the tzaddik. But that's the tzaddik, that's the Rasha. The Rasha is governed by the Yetzer Hara. There might even be, you know, certain Rishayim who have entirely obliterated the Yetzer Hara Tov. The Beinoni is who the Baal HaTanya turns his attention to at the end of Perek Aleph. And he explains the situation of the Beinoni in light of a scheme which is described by Chaim Vital in the Shaarei Kedusha, of course, based on the teaching of the Ari HaKadosh, that every individual is created with a nefesh, what he calls two neshamos. One, the nefesh habahamis, he's going to call it, which is the animalistic tendency. Of course, not at all similar to an animal in any way, chas v'shalom, you know, in terms of its ultimate significance. But what it means is animalistic tendencies. An animal, of course, is a different plane than a human being in every way. But we have certain things that are similar to an animal and that we need to eat and sleep and engage in all kinds of physical activity. So we have that, you know, desire and need. But we also have a nefesh of a kamimal, right? A nefesh which comes mitzad hakedusha, which is a chelak of the ribbono shel olam, of the divine within us. And each one has these two things. So now, in the chassidish way of thinking, right, we're not focused anymore already, now that we've entered into the world of the Baal HaTanya, and presumably based on the teaching of Baal Shem Tov, tzaddik and rasha are not defined by actions. The Beinoni is not defined by his actions either, how many mitzvahs he has, how many averus he has. It is that struggle internally between these two polar opposite forces which are pulling inside of every individual. And that's how he defines the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov, we usually think we have one neshama, we have, you know, a little bit, someone's encouraging us, a little guy talking in one ear, a little guy talking in the other ear, the right side, the left side, and we're kind of getting pulled in different directions, but there's really one us. The Baal HaTanya is already teaching us, there's, based on the teaching of Chaim Vital, that there's really two parts of us. And that's why we get pulled in different directions. We could call it the Yetzer Hara. He calls it the Klipa. The Klipa, based on the teaching of the Zohar, Klipa means a shell which is coming to disrupt, you know, deter us from reaching that spiritual part of ourselves. Or you could call it the Sitra Achra, the other side, nothing to do with the dark side or anything like that, Chas v'Shalom. But, you know, there's another side out there within us. And we feel this dichotomy within us. Right? A person, you see it all the time. We have, sometimes we feel so spiritual, so inspired, so pure, so kadosh. And you have these moments of clarity when everything seems like, how could I not be serving the Ribbono Shel Olam at all times? And if you've never had such a moment, right, shame on us. But there are those moments we have that. But then there are some times where a person just, right, he could get drawn to the other side. And you wonder, how could these two people coexist in the same body? And the answer is because there are these two neshamas that everybody is created with, and therefore we have this kind of dichotomy and a polarity, even one to the next minute. We could switch back and forth between them. It's not like we have a Yerida and an Aliyah, like, you know, a stage in life, and then we switch to another stage and we could go back and forth. We are all in a constant state of struggle, a tug of war between these two polar opposites that exist within us. And it could be in the morning the guy's a great chakras, and by the afternoon he's doing, you know, all the other things from the other side. So we get pulled back and forth. So that's the principle that he develops. And the Beinoni, we're going to have to see, is the one who struggles with these two polar opposite forces engaged within him, and has that kind of tug of war that's going on all the time. So this he first addresses in terms of defining the nefesh habahamis, this kind of like physical need, which is similar to that animalistic tendencies. So now he goes so far as just to define the terms, right? He goes so far as to explain that that has very negative aspects to it, right? A person could get drawn to do averos because of that nefesh habahamis, to satisfy animalistic desires. But at the same time, he goes so far as to say also that this is really the totality of our physical existence, right? A person needs to eat. He needs to sleep. Those are not fundamentally bad things. So he says that's also stemming from the nefesh habahamis, and that can lead a person to overindulge in these areas, in which case, you know, then that's taking him too far. But that's also the source, or can be the source of great things, right? Every animal, he alludes to the Mishnah Maseches Avos. It tells us how the oz kenomer, we should be as bold as the leopard, gibor kari, as strong as, or as mighty as the lion, Kal Kanesher, as swift as the eagle, Aratz Kitzvi, as you know, as quick as the deer, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But all animals have positive qualities too, right? The Gemara says if we didn't learn Tznia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us in Tznia, we would have learned it from the cat. We would have learned hard work from the ants. So all animals also have positive qualities which can be harnessed and used for good. But those all stem from that physical side of ourselves, but then there's an entirely spiritual side of ourselves which has no physical component at all. And of course our job is to use the physical component to tap into the spiritual component, but that physical side of ourselves can be used for good and for bad. It's not all necessarily bad. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. But that's the dichotomy, the polar opposites that we have within ourselves. And of course the avodah of every Jew is to break through what he calls the klipa or the sitra achra in order to reach the Ribbono Shel Olam, in order to tap into that spiritual side of ourselves. So the physical side can sometimes help us get there. But of course, that's really a barrier to the purely spiritual side of ourselves, which is the chelak al-kam imal. He continues, and he explains that this is very fundamental, of course, to Chassidus thinking as well. This all occurred. When did we get this nefesh ha-bahamis, this physical need, or this to live in a physical existence, happened at the time that Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas was the Eitz Hadas Tovara. It could be good for good and for bad. What does it mean? What existed beforehand? See, he implies in his one line that prior to the eating from the Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon was living an entirely spiritual existence. There was no physical component at all. When he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he engaged in a physical activity of eating. So then that introduced the Nefesh HaBahamis, the need to engage in a physical existence. That is Eitz Hadas Toiv Vera. It has positive aspects to it, yes. We can be Rachmanim, Baishanim, Goyim LaChasadim. We can do great things with that physical existence and perform mitzvos. At the same time, it creates the avenue for Ra and for overindulging and pursuing our desires. So, like you find all the time, different concepts. We're trying to be mesakin to undo the chait of the Eitz Hadas. How are we undoing the chait of the Eitz Hadas? The answer is, what is the Eitz Hadas, the original sin? How is that related to us? Not similar at all to any other kind of other religions. What that means is that introduced the physical existence and now provided us with a hurdle to overcome that, to tap into our purely spiritual side of ourselves. Right, so that's where we're going to continue in terms of the tug of war, the avodah of the Beinoni, is to tap into the physical side. So in the first, this part, the end of Perek Aleph, he defined the physical, Nefesh HaBahamis. At the beginning of Perek Beis, he's going to begin to describe the spiritual side of our spiritual side of ourselves. Just as a Litvish person way of thinking in terms of analyzing this, what is such a chiddush here, which is so revolutionary that we have to figure out how we're going to integrate this into our own thinking. And that is, to take everything away from action, to make it just about an internal struggle, is revolutionary. We would typically define a tzaddik, a rasha, a beinoni based on his actions. Once you take it away from actions, there's a positive to that, right? But it's also it's dangerous. Because what you basically said is, if internally I'm in a good place, it doesn't really matter what I do. That's going to have to be something that we're going to struggle with. The other part of it is, he's basically said all kinds of physical activities bring us further away from Hashem, which again, and the spiritual side of ourselves is an entirely disconnected with the physical world in which we exist, and that's just like a klipa on the sitra achra on the other side that we have to kind of like fight our way through to get back to Hashem. That again minimizes the importance of physical activities, of mitzvos, which we do in a physical way, because that's just, yeah, it's using our Yetzer Hara for good, or our physical existence in order to propel us closer to Hashem, but that's not really the goal. The goal is to get to the spiritual, which of course is revolutionary, new official way of thinking, where everything depends on actions and mitzvahs and averos, and a mitzvah is the conduit to get to Hashem, and the mitzvah itself is the Kedusha. It's not that it propels me to a spiritual kind of existence. That itself is the goal. So again, just to put it in context of a person who's coming from more traditional, see the way of thinking. All right, we'll have to continue on for now.